This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.
Circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
I didn't see any. I make a motion we approve the minutes as public.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, I'd like to welcome Thad Barrett, District Ranger for the Bighorn National Forest, to give an update to the commissioners.
On. How are you all doing?
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure and get in and update where we're at. And obviously, spring's a coming, and we're kind of in that middle season right now. One of the first things, you know, we had a lot of conversation on the last few years has been the dispersed camping special order that's been updated. We went last year with the year-round special order and added the food storage portion to that. That did get signed here, I think it was March 18th, extending it into this year through 2027, same as it was last year. So we had lots of comments, kind of saw how things went last year, and the forest supervisor decided that, you know, we'd go ahead and put that in place and carry that forward into the future. So no changes from last year, a little more enforcement on the food storage. Last year was the first year of that, so we definitely were just trying to talk to people and share the expectations there. And this year we'll be trying to hold people to that and continue to educate people that are unaware and see how things go. So, many of the roads are closed now for the spring. You know, the snowmobile season's winded down. Some of the roads, as the grooming trails were finished up here at April 1st, we swing the gates on a bunch of those, Circle Park, Tyhack, that sort of thing. And then there's a lot of the roads that are closed for wildlife calving and that into June. And so those gates will be closed. Hopefully people respect that. I had a call already this morning up West Tensleep. Somebody stuck up there and got a tow truck driver trying to get them out. So obviously, some people are trying to get out and about, but we've got different roads closed, you know, spring conditions, trying to protect the roads and not have them get ripped up as the frost comes out of the ground and things get muddy. So that'll be in place. I'd shared with you all the Federal Lands Access Program proposals. I know that Crazy Woman Road in the past had received some of those funds. I think it's April 30th is when those applications are due. So if anybody needs more information on that, I can get that information out as well. So our Lynx Park timber harvest, that's been going on all winter long. We've been making really good progress, or the contractor has on that. They've got a majority of the wood cuts. They went ahead and shut that down last week as anticipation. It wasn't us telling them they need to, but they want to be proactive and not start ripping things up as we're starting to get the thaw. They've got a few loads of trees that they'll continue to take out early mornings while things are froze. And then they'll finish up probably for the year. They're about 80% complete with that timber contract and Lynx Park. And then our Rabbit Creek timber harvest is one that's not really been worked on. They've extended their contract, and we'll get to once that fits within that contractor's schedule. Once they're done with Lynx Park and then Rabbit Creek, when it comes around, that's kind of the last of our timber stock on the Powder River District. There's quite a bit of work going on up in Sheridan on the Tongue District. which leads into the Pole Creek Vegetation Project. It's kind of our next big one that we've been working on here at Powder River Ranger District. We've been working on an environmental assessment for the last couple of years, had our public scoping last year. We anticipate getting our decision and the environmental assessment completed this summer. Get that out to the public for the objection process if there are any, or if there's not, then be able to move forward with the plans there. That's kind of like our Buffalo Municipal Watershed Project. We got the timber harvest that's in there to take care of the even age growth on the lodgepole pine, kind of help get different age classes in the lodgepole pine, get some heterogeneity out there, help the healthier forests in that way. And then we've got fuels thinning, aspen restoration work, similar to the other stuff, kind of some riparian. And then a fair bit of prescribed fire planned in that one, just mostly in roadless areas where we can't do timber harvest, but just trying to make sure we're creating healthy landscapes, getting rid of some of that dead and down where we don't have many wildfires that we allow burn anymore. That stuff's accumulating, and we don't want to get set up where we're having any large fires, obviously, if we can get them curtailed sooner than that. So I know in the paper recently there was an article on the city water situation and still concerns about, you know, if we ever get a fire. With that, you know, we had a pretty successful burn up there in that Buffalo Municipal Watershed on Grouse Mountain. That was January 31st and February 1st. We just had the right conditions with snow. We got in there and lit things with those drones, and were able to burn a lot of that dead and down like we were planning, going to kill some of the trees that are in there, but really targeting that stuff that's down on the ground so that if we have fire come in, it's not going to lift up into the trees. Really successful with that prescribed burn. As we look into, you know, Pole Creek or future with more of the Buffalo Municipal Watershed, that's the type of fires we want to do with the right conditions and just be able to get rid of that old material. So one other similar project we got going is an infrastructure categorical exclusion. We put that out for public comment, just trying to make sure that everybody's aware of how we're working on that. That's one where all of our admin sites, the cabins and everything up on the mountain, we're wanting to be able to go in and treat up to 100 acres around those structures, thin the trees out and create a very defensible space around those, and also create a situation where if fire starts in those, that's where there's lots of human activity, that it wouldn't spread in the landscape too quick. So that one's moving along, and it'd just be the thinning practice of no timber harvest with that one. And that, you know, talking about the prescribed fire and all the county, the CWPP plans, it looks like maybe they were due to be updated soon. I don't know. It was 2017 was the last one. So whenever the county, you know, goes to work on those, we do look forward to working with you all on that and trying to make sure we set up some classifications with the WUI and other things that allow us to reach out for funding to be able to maximize the treatments that we're able to do up on the forest. So, wanted to share, I think it's been well known, Deerhaven's finally up and operational. Again, that's been since 2019 that's been closed, and new operator got that up and running. I think they're going to close down here for the spring here shortly, and then come back in the summertime and run it through the summer and fall. They've got the motel and restaurant lodge open there as well, so that's great to see. Crazy Woman Bridge project, we've been continuing to work on getting things finished up. Our plans are about in place on that one. That won't be getting completed this year. I know we're talking with the community or the county road and bridge real close on that one. Their work, I can't remember, it seems like they might be looking at 2025, so we'll make sure and coordinate with them, because we're not going to want to go in and replace too many bridges all at once. But 2025 is looking at the earliest that we'd be working on. We're going to replace one bridge, and then we've got a large culvert that we're going to put a bridge in there instead, so it'll be two bridge replacement kind of. So moving along on that. Hazelton parking area, that winter parking area, we worked with the county to get another temporary permit this last year. I didn't hear anything. I assume things went well up there this year. I'm still hoping to do that long-term 10-year permit. I need to reach out to Scott and visit with him and kind of get real detailed plans so that we can finish up our little categorical exclusion and get that in place hopefully next winter. And it sounds like our law enforcement was able to get a couple thousand dollars over to, I think it was the county sheriff's program here, continue to work closely with them. We appreciate their assistance and work and everything they do. And those are the big items that I had for over here. I mean, Tent City Planning Management Plan, we're still working on that. Hope to finish that decision up by the end of this year as well. So I know that we get people coming through here and people kind of rock climbing around here as well, but that project's ongoing. We'll probably have a public comment period on that one this summer as we get our environmental assessment done and start to look at what we will decide there. So, Zach, got any questions?
I do, Ed, and again, thank you for being here. And Scott Perringer is here with Road and Bridge because we were concerned about the pace with which the Forest Service was moving on your planning side on that Crazy Woman Canyon Bridge, because it's got the risk of delaying our work. And so I'm going to defer to Scott on just where we are and what our overall thoughts are.
Right now, actually, we had a meeting yesterday on that project. We are moving ahead. We will probably bid in September for early spring 25 start. We're ready to go. We'll just put special stipulations in our projects that they have to coordinate with the Forest Service, so one bridge is out at a time. It would be nice, actually, if we could end up with the same contractor on both projects. It would make it a lot cleaner process, but yeah, we're right there.
Okay.
So we'll be looking at the tail end of August, probably for a mandatory bid meeting, and then we'll go to bid in September. We'll award that. Part of the reason why we're going in September is we'll award that just due to the steel and stuff that goes in that bridge. We want to give it a pretty good lead out time so those materials can be purchased and delivered to the site. So when spring comes around, everything's there, we're ready to go. We want to keep it a pretty short. I'd like to actually shorten the build window a little bit. I think we're looking at a 60-day build on that bridge. I'd like to shorten it up a little bit. Just let's get them there and let's get it built. That's kind of where we're on that.
Well, that's, yeah, good to know. And we've all our process for doing our reviews, that's one that's been on our list but not getting moved on with the Heritage, but we've got listed as a priority so that they're working on that right now, trying to get our final clearance on that. I think Chris Wolfing's got a similar plan for, you know, trying to get contract out this fall is what he was hoping for. So maybe if it ties in similar time frame, that'll help.
Yeah,
the opportunity
could help both of us.
Potential.
You know, I see the benefit for us for getting that bridge done. If we can get ours done, then your material can come in from the bottom of the canyon versus trucking it all the way around and coming down the canyon.
Right.
And I would like to see that construction window. Whenever we set the starting date on that, I'd like to see it by the middle of May, so that we're done by maybe the 1st of July.
Right.
And we'll give your contractor time to, you know, get their prep work and stuff done.
So yeah.
Our two concerns are we have the seasonal residents here, and then I have a resident in the bottom that we have to provide that access to. Mm-hmm. She has some access for the footbridge that she'll use, but yeah, we have to, for emergency vehicles and stuff, that's going to be the biggest thing.
Right.
So we got a route to get them there. So
yeah.
I think it's just going to be coordination.
Right. Oh, sounds good. Yeah, we're moving along. I'll share this with Chris so he knows. And
perfect.
Make sure we get that project complete on our end, so the paperwork's out.
And you also mentioned the Hazleton parking lot. It's always been our intention to get something permanent. We've lived under a special use permit for many, many years. We had the life of that under the previous district ranger, and there were some discussions about potentially moving it to the other side of the road, hard surface. So what can we do to help you move it to a point, because there's a lot of residents up there, that are permanent residents now, plus a lot of folks that are more than just summer seasonal. They like to be in at their cabins year round, and the safety of keeping those folks parked off of the highway and up on that area. We've got an agreement with the YDOT, so that gets plowed every day rather than it used to be once a week when we can send a plow up there to do it from the county. So at this point, you know, we were told last year we couldn't do a long range, so we had to go to that 1 year permit, and I don't like doing year to year because that creates uncertainty for those residents. So what do you need from us so that we can get this one resolved and put to bed?
So from what I understand, we've got to go with them 10-year permits like the one previous. I think we've been at least 3 years where we've just done the annual and trying to get ready for what we plan to do long term. So I just got to sit down with Scott or whoever and figure out what it is. You know, what would we be hardening it with? Would it be gravel? Would it be crushed asphalt?
Probably be crushed asphalt.
Crushed asphalt.
And I'm looking at, I think we look at it as a two-phase deal. We start with an acre, and then with the opportunity to expand to 2 acres. I mean, if you get in there, get it our hard surface, to get it organized, so people are parking in there correctly. I mean, an acre of land is quite a bit of land.
Right.
And, you know, and my problem, why I have with the whole thing, is we're not creating a storage lot, it's a parking lot.
Yes.
And that's where we get into kind of some of our issues up there is you got one landowner that's parking everything that they have at their cabin there for the winter.
Okay.
And we want it to be, or we have people that are whipping in that don't want to tow that snow machine trailer clear back to Casper for the weekend, so they'll drop it there.
And so in managing that and putting a special use permit with the county, as we've talked about, you know, there's ways for you to be able to manage that as far as giving stickers or however you would put it so that you know who's in there and who's not and what they're allowed to do. If there's a charge with that, we have different type of special use permit. It sounded like we could, you know, do the permit where you all could do it that way, or if you're just, it's mandatory that you got to have somebody's registered with you, etc. So that's the other part that we probably need to figure out as we finalize our proposal. I've got my archaeologist went and looked at it last year and has got the report ready to go once I give him the final description of what we're doing. And so I'm pretty certain we can have that paperwork done by this fall once we get those things ironed out. So sounds like crushed asphalt, start with an acre, expand to two, and then what type of system you all want to do with tracking folks, that's the last piece that I probably need to finish this up.
You know, and that's something that we definitely need to figure out, because we need, I really feel we need a system of tracking, not only for us, but for law enforcement and so forth, so we have a sticker that we know who's in there and so forth when we have a problem, we know how to track it down and so forth.
Yeah.
Because that's some of the challenges there. I mean, it's a lot of my time, it's a lot of Bob's time, you know, trying to track down those individually. And I, if I understand rightly, now if we go to that and we charge a fee, then you charge, if we collect income on it.
Right, right now then, there's been no charge for the special use fee. But
that would be the ideal.
So if I need to gather some additional information, you know, what that charge would look like and share with, you know, is that with county commissioners or Scott?
Who would that be? If you could initially work through Scott and then he can bring forward the final plan.
Okay. And we'll probably, what I'll do is just here in the next week or so, I'll get set out and see if I can't just put a little bit of a site plan together for you.
Okay.
What I'm thinking, maybe an option A, option B.
Yeah, it'd be nice if this month we could get that kind of ironed out well before summer hits.
Yep, I agree.
Then we also had the Forest Service road construction crew was scheduled to be in the district last summer, and then we had torrential rain for 2 months straight that caused you to have to actually close some roads to prevent resource damage. So where are we in getting the maintenance that needs to be done so that people can access the National Forest, can recreate based off of kind of unforeseen circumstances when it was our turn in the schedule on the forest to get that road crew up there?
Right, yeah, the road crew is scheduled to go to the Medicine Well District this year. You know, and then they'll do the minimal maintenance that they do on us. One of the probably biggest hits we had this year also is that we had the BLM grader out of Worland work on our roads, mostly on the other side of the district during the summer. That's not going to happen this year where they're going to stay and focus on their roads. We usually send our road grader over there this time of year and just shared work. This year, that's not going to be the case. And so while our road grader can't be upgrading forest roads right now, we'll have the same crew on this summer. We're looking at equipment rental, whether we can, if we got enough operators and could get another grader for part of the summer to be able to make up some of that. But that's going to limit the number of times we can grade some of the roads over there, West Tensleep and other places that we hit two times a year down to one. This year, you know, not looking like we'll have any extra help. They'll just be down here hitting them one time a year, which is pretty typical for what we get. You know, they did get a lot of the roads worked on and fixed up that needed it last year. Probably some of the maintenance stuff got bumped out because of that, and then they won't be scheduled back here till 26 would be the next year we'll be back. So no, you know, we don't have any extra contracts or, you know, either maybe getting that one piece of equipment. We did that last year. It was especially useful because of the road situation we had. We did have extra equipment rented for a month last year. And so if we have the funds available, we try to take advantage of that. But I wouldn't anticipate, you know, anything more than the minimal done on Powder River this year. But Medicine Well District will have more work done. We do have a roadside clearing project coming to Battle Park Road in the next year or two. That could start this year, but that's not the road surface, just the trees along the road.
See the sheriff in the back. Run anything on our law enforcement agreement and the hours that we put in up there that bring up? Or?
I did see that you give, so with Sheridan, is it like $30,000 for Sheridan this year? Ask me about that. Yeah. Please. No, we're happy. We go up there and work a lot and like the parking lot, all that. We're, the guys are on the mountain quite a little, so especially spring and summer. It seems like it's working out well for both of us.
Yeah, I'll get back here at Forest. Get back on that.
Mr. Barry, any other?
Yes, I think they pretty well covered the things that I was interested in. There was one. The storage area. Would the Forest Service be interested in entering into a lease with a private individual to lease them like a 5-acre piece of ground to put storage units for snow machines? Is that something that they would consider?
So we hadn't really started thinking about, you know, storage areas for snow machine type stuff. There's Andrew's committed and asked for a staff to be on the lookout for areas that we would consider for a storage area for campers and what that would look like, expecting then probably a concessionaire type situation. We haven't found any locations. You know, I've thought about this Hazelwood parking area, and it's pretty highly visible in the summertime and probably not an ideal spot to have a bunch of campers. You know, as we put together the permit for the winter parking, we want to make clear that that's not a storage area for the summer situation. But I don't think anybody's asked or thought about storage areas in the winter other than this one for the residents that live back there. I mean, that's the real intent there, is to make sure we're given an opportunity for those folks to get back to their cabins and be able to park off the highway and keep it safe. But
I talked to an individual who's interested in putting in some sort of a storage facility, I think that he's found some private lands up there that he's pursuing.
Gotcha. And I meant to share our steering committee meetings. It's looking like May 9th. We put out the 9th and one other 23rd, I think. More people responding that May 9th is what's going to work. And then the fall meeting will be on the Town Ranger District, you know, the field tour type one probably around August 28th or September 4th, 5th.
Well, as always, we appreciate the relationship that we have with our local district ranger and look forward to a great year on the mountain, and we'll just be prepared as conditions out there change with the fuel load that we may have to make some necessary changes, just as you will, to protect the resources.
Yeah, and I guess the, you know, thinking about precip and that, we are starting to have our grazing permittee meetings, and we are sharing with them that we'll offer up resource protection on use for Powder River snowtail sites at 70% of median right now. And so we're not forcing anybody to come on with fewer numbers, but if people do want to, we're recognizing that this could be a dry year. Obviously, last year's high forage yield was nice coming into this drier year that we're looking at.
Thanks for coming,
sir. Yeah, thanks all.
Chair Bodenbaugh.
Chairman, commissioners. So I'm here. The price increase on the DOC, the IOP program, you were there, Chairman Novotny, when we talked to Director Shannon. At that time, we were getting $70 a day. He approved to increase that to 80, which that's the new contract that we have, is $80 a day. And then that goes to $90 a day as of July 1st. So we'll have to sign another contract then. And then our split sentences went from 60 to 70, but those are individual contracts, so we don't, I mean, that's just done on each individual inmate through district court or when they're sentenced to a split sentence. So that's basically the only language. The only thing that's changed is it went from $70 to $80. Did you review that, Barry?
Yeah.
So that's it, and I'll be back probably the end of June with a new contract for the 1st of July. So that's the only reason I'm here.
Mr. Krieger, you had a teenager review.
I did. That's exactly what the sheriff said. Just raising that daily rate.
And we do have, our contract's for 10, but we have 11. It seems like they're we are receptive to more, not a lot, but as if it's an emergency for DOC, we'll go above that 10 number. Like, for instance, now we're at 11, but just depends on what they have and who they refer and when that is. So even though that contract says 10, taken more. We've been as low as 8, but it's stayed pretty steady at 10, so they're working pretty well with this. Director Shannon and probation parole, we're lucky to have it. If you see a detention officer, make sure you tell them thank you, that this makes a lot of work for those guys in the jail, so, and ladies. So if you see one, make sure you reach out to them. But yeah, that's it. Got the new body cams. We're doing that old thing, so smile. It's not on, but yeah, it's going well. Still learning how to talk, but I'll get there. I think most of us are. So yeah, and everything else is good.
Well, commissioners, we need to commend the sheriff for his hard work on getting the Department of Corrections to pay the higher rate, and he bird dogged this continually.
Yeah, I should have started higher. I know my dad taught me better than that, but I think he was fair. I think you were there, Commissioner, or Chairman. we just wanted what was fair, and we figured out the math on our food and the salaries and all that, and it was just fair that we raise it to that. And he was, Director Shannon was super good with us, so yeah.
We appreciate the fact that you're doing that to help offset some of the expenses of the detention facility.
Thanks, Commissioner. We, so don't hold me this number, but it's going to be in that. I'm going to say between the splits and the IOP, probably in that 300,000 range, somewhere in there. So we're using the jail what it was built for. So yeah. Anyway.
Any questions on the contract for the sheriff? What's your pleasure, commissioners? Been a motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Commissioners, any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Oh, one other thing before I get up. You were there. We went through the TAC 1 training on Friday. Super good training. Real stressful. Some people got shot. Like, not, well, shot, but with the SIMs around. So I'm thankful for Charles and him including law enforcement in that, and it was a really good day, and a day of some pretty intense training. So hope to move forward with that as well. That's our, this is our third year with that, and so I think his grant runs out this year, so we'll have to look for some source of income or money for that. I'd like to see that continue if we could, but yeah.
Did you have any other agencies participate with you?
We had Highway Patrol and Game and Fish, and then PD and us. So it was kind of a round. Commissioner Shelley was there. Yeah, that was about, that was it. But yeah, it was, it's good training. It's an eye-opener. Jeff can attest to that.
Yeah, just, you know, getting everybody working together with the joint departments, and then, you know, even some of the very simple, basic things that you wouldn't even think you needed trained on. You know, just basic handcuffing, you know, position of where the officers need to stand. Those guys did such a great job of explaining that and why, and it's just things you don't, wouldn't typically think about, I don't think.
Yeah, you, until you find yourself in that position, and I've not been, but just in the training, you see a mile long, and it's 6 inches wide. Like, you don't see, like, it's weird how that works out, but you know it's not real, but you sure, yeah.
I think it was great, you know, you look at what it's doing, you bring that experience in, and that was a great opportunity for you guys.
Yeah, I agree.
For everybody.
So that's it. Sorry about that. Anything else? Thanks, Commissioner.
Thanks, Commissioner. Next on the agenda, Madam Clerk, you have some catering permits.
I do, Chairman, and just you guys, we were short one contract in there that wasn't copied, and unfortunately I gave Jody the wrong one. So you have two of the same one. So there's one that you don't have a copy of. I'll go over that one first. This is the one that I think you guys are aware of. The first one is from Warehouse Markets, doing business as Killy's. And they have a liquor license in Sheridan. And they've been engaged to do the catering and alcohol for an event south of Buffalo for the Stark Growers Association this summer. And so they have requested catering permit for that event. They have provided all the documentation, paid the fee, provided a copy of their current liquor license, and a letter from the City of Sheridan approving them using their liquor license over here. So you want to address that one, or you want me to keep going?
Can I get the date on that, Madam Clerk?
Oh, sure. August 24th, 2024.
the next one?
Okay, the next one, you have a copy of that. That's from Jessica Winter of Albatross LLC, doing business as the Last Chance Bar. And they've requested to use their license for a wedding that they're catering. This is for a wedding on August 10th, 2024, just a one-day permit. Again, they have provided a copy of their license, a letter from their authority giving them permission to use their liquor license here. And then the third one, and that event would be at the Spirit Wigwam Ranch. And then the third one is Goose's Inc., Goose's Bar and Liquor. And they have a personal relationship with a couple that's getting married. So this is for a wedding for our local resident, Marcy McStay. And the location would be up at the Upper Ridge French Creek Road. They have paid their fee. They have provided a letter from their licensing authority giving them permission, and also provided a copy of their license. And that event is June 29th, 2024. Then the last request is a request from Carla Harper of Cowboy Saloon of Buffalo, just asking if she could use permission to use her license and event for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet held at Bomber Mountain Civic Center for April 25th, 2024.
August 24th, Wyoming Stock Growers Association. August 10th, a wedding in Spiro Wigwam. June 29th, the McStay Smith wedding, and April 25th for Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Catering permits.
Also.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. All right. I'd like to welcome up Mike Most, our extension educator, to discuss the Buffalo Beginning Gardener course.
Yes.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me again. I see that quick. Bryce is not able to join me this morning. He's headed to Casper for a professional development opportunity, but would like me to share that 4-H is going well. Shooting sports is off and rolling, and the horse judging and livestock judging teams have had a very good start to their seasons. I know my time is brief, so we'll move through this fairly quickly, but I wanted to give an update on this spring program that just wrapped up at the beginning of March. I had some funds allocated to me from the university for program startup funding and chose to use it to put on this beginner gardener course. My main goal was obviously to provide some horticultural information to the community, but also to build relationships with some of the small acreage folks in the area and connect them to the resources that are available through the extension office. So the format was 6 weeks of instruction with the topics listed there. We did end up meeting at the library because of the number of people that registered. I was hoping to meet at the extension office, and when we got beyond about 10 or 12 people, realized that wasn't going to work, and the community building at the fairgrounds was booked for shooting sports on Tuesday night. So we went to the library, had 72 folks register, and 68 of those actually came to at least one class. If you flip to the second page there, those two bar charts collected some demographic information at registration just to see kind of who was interested and who was attending. And 59% of the people participating had lived in the county for less than 10 years, or 10 years or less. 77% had gardened here for 10 years or less. And that, focusing just on the 5 years or less, that was 72% of people. So a lot of very brand new beginner gardeners, some folks with some experience in the room. Flipping over to the next page, I conducted a weekly evaluation after each class. We averaged 54 people per session, which I was thrilled with. We really filled up the library pretty good, and had a quality rating of 4.43 out of 5, so I was pretty happy with that. Anything above a 3 is a win in my book. I also conducted a pre- and post-evaluation and was blown away by these results. So change in perceived knowledge, that's a self-reported metric on a scale of 1 to 5, and then I just looked at the change there. But an average of 24% knowledge increase across all of the categories evaluated. And focusing in on the familiarity with garden resources and who to ask when people have questions, 35% increase. So I would say my goal of increasing connection to resources in the community was pretty successful. I do have intentions of sending out a survey this fall to see what changes people actually implemented to document actual impact as a result of this program. Flipping to the back, these are just a few other outcomes. We have seen an increase in foot traffic through the extension office because of this program. Folks coming in to pick up materials or sending their friends and family down that way. I did have at least 5 people comment on the networking and community building on the post-evaluation as well. So I feel like that goal was met. And that picture there on the back page is everyone that gathered at the Occidental to incentivize attendance. Anybody that came to 4 out of 6 got an invite to the 7th bonus session where we went over a few community gardening opportunities. And it was a really fun evening. It was a great program. I had a lot of fun putting it on. I have a couple other quick updates, but any questions on that I can answer? Okay. In addition to this class, I hosted pesticide safety programs in 7 counties around the state. That's 4 more than I was originally assigned, and I found out the last week of December that I was picking up 4 more counties of my responsibility. So I spent time in Sheridan, Johnson, Natrona, Converse, Campbell, Crook, and Weston counties because I am the only ag educator in this area of the state at this point, or was. Signed 226 license applications. But good news, we do have a new ag educator over in Crook County. We have a new one in Park County, a new one in Washakie County, and they're in interviews in Converse County. So hopefully I will not be doing 7 counties worth of that next year. It took me out of the office quite a bit and drew me away from this area of assignment. So that's what I have for you this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Jody, who's going to present the 1% committee's recommendations?
I don't believe anybody.
Okay, so we don't have Travis or any of the committee members. Okay. All right, commissioners, before you, you have your committee recommendations. So if you flip to your blue tab, looks like first recommendation for Volunteers of America for operational support. The request was $7,000 and $7,000 was recommended. Family Crisis Center, there was an ask for $23,000 and it looks like the committee awarded 30. Hoof Prints of the Past for building repairs. They asked for $8,849.30 and that was awarded. Buffalo Children's Center asked for asked for nothing for HVAC, but the committee awarded them $7,920. Buffalo Golf Course asked for equipment in the amount of $15,000, and $15,000 was awarded. Boys and Girls Club asked for operational support in the amount of $40,000, and $20,000 was awarded. Sheridan College asked for operational support in the amount of $27,500. $27,500 was awarded. Buffalo Chamber asked for $35,169 $25,000. $25,000 was awarded. KC Senior Housing for a backup generator asked for $27,482. $27,482 was awarded. Compass for operational support in the amount of $25,000, with $20,000 being awarded. I do want to pull the Mountain Plains Heritage Park award off of there because that is a joint powers board and should be considered in the county allocation. So we will look at that in 2 weeks when we do our county allocations. St. Francis Animal Shelter has requested $5,000 for their spay, neuter, and vaccine programs, and were awarded $5,000. They also have another vaccine program, $1,500, and $1,500 was awarded. Friends Feeding Friends asked for equipment and supplies in the amount of $1,083.99, and there was no award there. And the Buffalo Community Skating Rink asked for equipment and supplies in the amount of $6,335, and $3,000 was awarded. So initial totals of $199,570. Obviously, we need to remove that Mountain Plains Heritage Park request. So that would allocate $198,251.30 out of the 1%. Commissioners, we can vote on those individually. You can do a consent list if you'd like to pull any of those off. But before we do that, let's welcome any public comment on any of those allocations. So if there are any folks from any of those groups or anyone watching to share thoughts on the 1% committee's allocations. Public comment? Public comment? All right, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, how would you like to proceed?
Individuals, I think.
Okay. All right, is there a motion to approve the allocation for the BOA?
I make a motion we approve BOA request.
A second.
Move and second. Any discussion on that? Yep. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Family Crisis Center.
I move to approve.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I don't know. I don't understand why we approved $37,000 more than they asked for. And we shorted some things like Friends Feeding Friends.
Friends Feeding Friends pulled their request.
Pardon?
Friends Feeding Friends pulled their request, so it's not considered.
Okay. I'll second the motion then.
It's been moved and seconded to award $30,000 to the Family Crisis Center. I'm sure there's any discussion on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Hoof prints passed.
Make a motion we approve hoof prints passed request.
Second. Been moved and seconded to approve the request for hoof prints of the pass. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Buffalo Children's Center.
I move to approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Perry, you got a long side there. What's your...
I just wonder why they didn't request any money.
Requested $15,840 from the city and no request from the county. And so the committee must have decided to split that equally between the two entities.
I see.
Yeah. Which is fair. We set them both.
No, that's fine. I just don't like to see where there's no money requested and a lot of money given. I'll second that motion.
Okay. got a motion and a second, so we're in the time of discussion. So if there's no further discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Buffalo Golf Course. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Boys and Girls Club.
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve allocation to the Boys and Girls Club. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Sheridan College.
Motion to approve.
The move, is there a second?
Here.
I will second the funding allocation for Sheridan College. Brings us some time of discussion. Mr. Shelley.
I'm all for Sheridan College being here, but I think, you know, it's time that they also stand up and be a true partner. And, I mean, they're bringing in tuition. So they're bringing money in. I don't see why they cannot afford their, you know, their part of this. I don't know why we have to keep helping them out. Sheridan College has done well. So I've asked for numbers from Sheridan College for a few months and I have not got the numbers that I've been asking for yet, which makes me nervous about why are they not sharing these numbers. That's just my
critical that we support the mission to train the workforce, specifically CNAs. We have the regional testing center for CNAs. This is essential to meet the needs of our hospital, our two privately owned nursing home elder care facilities, as well as the need for employees at the veterans home. I think this is an investment in our community. They're in the process of standing up a CDL class as soon as they can get the simulator. So I think it's critical that we continue to support having a footprint. We're a community college district. However, we don't contribute anything to the community college district, whereas the residents of Sheridan County pay a property tax assessment to have that. And certainly the folks in Campbell County voted to create their own community college district and assess them. So we actually benefit more probably than we contribute into the Sheridan College by having that campus there. And I just think we've made a commitment to the state of Wyoming that we would do everything we could to help create CNAs in this community. So I just think it's critical that it's not a lot of money compared to what good for our community that goes by having a community college. And there's non-traditional students that use that campus, folks that are trying to get their GED so they can raise themselves out of poverty and have skills to enter the workforce. So I just think this is critical support, so I'll be voting in the affirmative.
I echo that sentiment, and it wasn't that many years ago that we had this debate with the hospital, and we told them that we would continue to support the CNA class at the Bomber Mountain facility, and I'm going to throw my support with Bill's.
I agree with what both commissioners are talking about. You know, it is crucial to our community. It's very important. There's some classes that offer some retirees to come in and give them something to do also. but I think it's time that they can stand up and hold their own. I mean, as far as some of the CNA classes and that, the retention that stay in Johnson County is very low. Most of them leave after they've had these classes. So, I'm against it.
Any further discussion? All those those in favor of Sports Shared College?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Buffalo Chamber of Commerce.
Move to approve. I think we need to support the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce and see if we can't help get them on their feet, get something done with the chamber.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Casey Senior Housing for the backup generator.
Move to approve.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Compass Center for Families.
Move to approve.
Second. And second. All those, any discussion? All those in favor of approving the Compass allocation, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The first request from St. Francis for spay, neuter, and vaccines.
Move to approve.
Move to approve, or second. We need to either approve or deny Mountain Plains.
Commissioner Baird, we have Mountain Plains has a request for their liability assurance, insurance that will be heard during the county requests.
Oh,
this should have also been
funny.
There.
Yeah, I got it.
They're a joint powers board. Yep, it's over. Any discussion on the spay neuter program or the vaccines that are covered under this request?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The second request for the other vaccine program, amount of $1,500.
Move to approve.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The last is the $3,000 to the Buffalo Community Skating Rink.
Pleasure. To approve.
I will second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. That is the balance of the 1% committee's allocation. So we'll look at the county requests at our next meeting. All right, Mr. Waller, he's here. Mr. Waller, come forward and update us on the comprehensive land use plan and if we are ready to sign the contract or if we're still haggling over who owns the data and mediation in Johnson County if there is a disagreement.
I haven't heard anything back from other than what? And through Friday that you, or yesterday, you still had an issue, and I don't know if Anne Marie had reached out to you or not.
She has not.
Do you have explicit items that need to be changed on that 4-4?
I do.
So I'm wondering
if they would just send it to me in Word, then I can.
Should I just facilitate an email and say, this is what we want to change in 4-4, get a hold of Barry?
I sent that to her. I said, this is exactly what I need. So they don't understand what we're asking for is part of the problem. So, you know, we said we didn't want arbitration, so they changed the terminology to binding mediation, which there is no such thing, right? And so my proposal was we agree to mediation. If the mediation fails, then either of us can bring action. Or at that point, if we want to agree to arbitration, we could. We're just not bound by it. And so that was the main thing. And then the other thing that I didn't like is, you know, I had pointed out that if we're paying for all the data, we own the data, and they had retained language in there that they own, that they also co-own the data, and I did not.
Yeah, and I definitely saw that where, you know, they're saying if we have attorney's fees arising out of the clients or other parties' unauthorized use, and we're going to use the data. I don't know if they're talking about the work product up to the final.
Well, so, I mean, part of this is it's a form contract, and it's they use it for other purposes, and it doesn't fit this purpose. And so I don't think we're there yet. I think those are two big items that we do not want to agree to. That's just my legal analysis. But you obviously, as the commission, can do as you please, but I would recommend we hold off until
we get that resolved.
You know, I don't see us having an issue with them, so the importance of priority for me is, A, we own the documents.
Yes.
We own it solely. They have no ownership interest. We're paying them to do something for us, and when it's done, we own it. If they want to use it for some other purpose, they can ask us. I mean, what they're wanting to do is they want to be able to, once they do this project, they can sell that project to somebody else in theory, right? Another county, they'd have a form already available. I don't think we care about that, and we can make that clear to them. But it's our data. You know, it's our document that we're creating, and we own it, and we own it, so we're going to pay a lot of money for it. So, and I don't know. It seems we get into this argument more and more, and it makes no sense to me. And normally, if we're paying somebody for a service, we get the benefit of it. And, you know, all the contracts seem to come to us like this, and we say no, and then they change them, and then we move on. So, I don't know.
I kind of compared it this morning when I was thinking about it. We buy a product at the store, it's ours. And this is the same thing. Their services, the talent, the time, this expertise to getting a document with data that the county needs. We're public, so we can't really restrict it. It's going to be available on the county's website. People are going to use that information and data. So I don't know. I might just try to get a hold of Barry after lunch sometime and see if I can't call Anne Marie this morning and just try to get those two connected so that a Word document can be put together. Because they definitely included all the strikeout version, and I asked for a clean copy.
Right.
So. And that was in the PDF document, and I wasn't going to strip it out. But I think we can get something resolved by the middle of the month.
First of all, I think it's critical that we have clear ownership of data. I'd like that you would be able, with the Planning Commission, periodically, on a, whether it's every 2 years or every 4 years, be able to go in and revisit the document and see if there needs to be updates to the demographics or things that we could do in-house to update the land use plan rather than having to go out and reconstruct it. And obviously after 10 years you would have to rebuild the land use plan, but periodically, so that it is a valid working document, I think that we need to have that option. So I think it's critical that we own the data.
Yep.
Okay. Being held hostage by them owning that data, we probably can rebuild the document for 85% if we decide at a later date that we want to update it, or in 10 years we want to update the one that we already have. The language is going to remain about the same, but the specifics within the document may change.
Yeah, there may be an opportunity, you know, every 5 years you go back to them and pay them to update it for a much smaller cost, right? Rather than redoing it every 10 or 15 years, you just continually do updates that, I mean, there's probably some money to be saved there if you do it that way, I think. Just thinking down the road ways.
I'll stress to them that we want to own the data, and that we can dispute, what did I write down? Mediation, just had a particular mediation, and then tell her to get a hold of you. And I'll just figure out. I think she's taking this up to Brenda, as I'm assuming, and then it's just trickling down. So I want to try to eliminate the middleman. I didn't send an email. I thought about sending an email yesterday until I looked at who all received the email, and I was like, well, there's no point. Everybody's in this. So I figured we'd come in today and get some guidance, and then, you know, I mean, our desire is to move forward and get it sound so we can continue on.
Well, if there's no objection, we will set that aside and hope that at our meeting on the 16th that we have a clean copy with the changes that the attorney attorney and the county planner have asked.
All right.
Well, any other updates on the
plan? I got your email on the Sagegrass stuff, and I'm in the process of trying to unwind all of Alternative 5. It was 1 gig, so once I got that all in, now I've tried to pull it in. It's huge, and I'm trying to understand all of the data. The website that they put together on that is really clunky. It does not work on any kind of device. You have to be on a computer, basically, to have it not time out. And I noticed on the side margin, when you load different things that they have in there, so they've got the land use, they've got oil and gas activities, all the way down to lands that they propose to dispose of and retain, there's a little blue dot. Until that blue dot is stopped flashing, the data is still loading, and so it's clunky, but I hope to at least try to start pulling in. There are seven data sets under Alternative 5. Each data set has about 12 different sub-data sets, so it's a ton of information, but I was going to touch base with you on it and see what we can do. I'd like to at least overlay our current ownership.
Yes.
And then the roads, and then break them down into, as we narrow in on that Sagegrass area, kind of fine-tooth these are the county roads, because those are we're going to be subject to all that stuff, you know, from county maintenance on top of the impact on the citizens' private property.
Scott's here, but we're already dealing with seasonal restrictions on some of the roads that we can maintain. Makes it hard to do mag chloride.
RCMAC this year is something else. Fish and Wildlife. Now we're looking at different endangered plants. It's when we're surface treating the road, not too many plants grow on the road.
Well,
so, and I mean, they just put out a broad picture of it in where these plants grow. There's documentation in southern Wyoming, nothing in this part of the country, Idaho, but now we're falling underneath all of that. It just adds another layer to trying to get your work done.
You risk putting us out of compliance with the Clean Air Act. You allow our resources to degrade. That county road has been laying in that roadbed for a long time, and the sage grouse have done just fine with that county road where it lies. So it's frustrating. So Jim, I do thank you for helping me try to get all of those data sets overlaid, because you look at their giant map and you think, all right, I think that's the Powder River right there, but
That's the only geographic feature.
Yes.
Under their map service. You can go in and turn it on and look at a base layer to like aerial imagery, but the data sets are dark. So you can't see through them to see how, we don't have any geothermal, but they did a whole geothermal analysis out there. So, you know, I was focused in on our key ones. Grazing was in there, oil and gas is in there, and then as well as mining. You know, the uranium is a uranium mine, and so I wasn't really too concerned about the other ones, but I want to focus on Alternative 5 because of what your email was, and it definitely is honed in on a small area, but I think it should be known that the greater Sagegrass ecosystem, or whatever you want to call it, habitat, I guess, is TW Road, and it cuts through Tipperary and TW right there at that intersection. There's Lex all over out in there, and the wells, when you go to drill a water well, you're having to put ladders in and stuff like that for your stock tanks, and I think it's going to get really, really difficult for about a 20-mile stretch straight across the middle of the Powder River Basin. I wanted to try to get their massive area that they already blocked off, and then figure out what we look at for total private acres, so we can look at it from impact there. And then also I was going to try to take county roads that zigzag across it, and the ones that we have major improvements, some bridges, just to get an idea of how many miles of roads we have under their proposal, because I think that our climate of what we're experiencing today in our country and in our state, it's just going to make roads start falling apart. Make it difficult if you want to replace a bridge, unless we can get the feds to, you know, cough up saying they'll take over our bridges and maintain them like they did in Maryland. They're going to fix it. According to the news. We'll be the first one. But there's not much going on. Planning and zoning meeting tonight. We're a little bit of carryover or agenda from last month, table in the subdivision. The consultant is going to meet with Road and Bridge to talk about access stuff, I've been told, and then we'll go forward. And then I'm going to review the scope of services with planning and zoning, just so they're aware of how this is going to come down and upcoming meetings, things like that. So, anyway.
Are there any questions for Mr. Waller? Thanks, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
All right. It is National Public Health Week, so if we can welcome up our staff from the Public Health Office. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Commissioners. I brought some typed out notes so I don't ramble this time, because public health is so large, we could go on a long time. So this week is National Public Health Week, April 1st through the 7th. We'll be celebrating by inviting our community to stop in any day this week. Through the rest of the week, Friday, we're closed 12 to 1 for lunch. Inviting them to check out our programs and enter for a chance to win a prize basket. We've had some businesses around town and the county donate some awesome prizes for us to give away. And each day we'll be posting on Facebook, and we now also have a new Instagram account, so people can follow those for more chances to win a prize. And then on Wednesday, April 3rd, our new nurse, Tammy Wolf, will be presenting at the Buffalo Senior Center during lunch, approximately 12:25, presenting on public health and the services we offer in Johnson County. So at Johnson County Public Health, we help empower community well-being through a range of cornerstone services with qualified professionals under one roof. Our services are never dependent on income or insurance status, which allows us to provide equitable care for the entire community. Johnson County Public Health relies on the support and partnerships from community members like you, and our services include nursing services such as vaccinations, a maternal and child health program, we do a prenatal and postnatal home visiting program, breastfeeding support, blood pressure checks, emergency preparedness, smoking cessation, prevention services, and child safety resources. We are the only place in town where families can get their car seat checked for correct installation and also pick up a car seat. When public health is positive, our community thrives. Johnson County Public Health promotes and protects the health of the people of all ages who live, work, and play in Johnson County. From KC to Buffalo, we believe an informed and prepared community is a happy, healthy, and safe one. Community prevention efforts create a ripple effect that strengthens the health and well-being of our citizens. So we invite you to join Johnson County Public Health in empowering community well-being. Thank you.
The library has withdrawn their request, so Ms. Ruby, you are up with the MOU between the museum, the GMA, and the county.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this MOU is a long time coming. Started about, I don't know, 2.5 years ago. Seems like a long time ago, but we've been able to work something out. There were some concerns between the GMA and the museum about various things. The fix that we kind of came up with was that the county would get involved, and the county would hold the final say on whether or not this MOU gets terminated, or if someone steps out of it. And so, in essence, the county steps in sort of as a referee in a lot of ways, and I think that kind of helps. It provides some assurances to two organizations that really need to work together, that because of various things that there's no need to rehash, there were hard feelings between them, but I think this is a good thing. It's gonna help us move forward. it's going to help the museum have funding that they need, and I also think it's going to help the GMA have well-defined what their role is and what they're supposed to do. There was some concerns about, I think the museum this past year did some good things with grant writing and other stuff like that to be able to improve the outside of the building and some other things like that. There were some concerns about being able to do that. That's worked into the MOU that they're able to continue to do those things. However, the GMA is still going to be principally responsible for fundraising. They're going to continue to do their gatherings and those sorts of things to help increase the funding for the museum and increase that endowment that they continue to pull from. And so this is similar in a lot of ways to the MOU that we did, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, but it's updated a few things. I think everybody is in favor of it at this point. Obviously, John Lawrence from the GMA, he has signed. Kathleen Brucey Connell from the Jim Gatcher Museum has signed, and I have brought the original for your signature, Mr. Chairman, if I may approach.
Absolutely.
Old habit, I didn't know if I needed to ask you to approach.
Mr. Shelley, you were involved in this work. Any thoughts or comments?
I just want to thank Tucker for the back and forth that he had to go through to get this accomplished. I mean, as you can see, a simple document that shouldn't have taken this long to get done. So thank you, Tucker, for the back and forth that you had to go through.
Oh, thanks for your help, and thanks to, you know, the boards. They came together on some stuff. They were willing to work on some things. It took some time, but they were willing to work on some stuff. Dennis Kirvin represented the GMA, and I was able to work with him, and we were able to get some stuff done, so that was good. We really went along for a while and not much happening, and then when it happened at the end, it happened pretty quickly. We got signatures really quickly, and so that was a good thing. We were happy to have that.
Looking forward to moving.
Yes. Yes. Looking forward to putting this behind us and having them work together moving forward.
Motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the Gatchel Museum Association, Jim Gatchel Memorial Museum, and the Johnson County Commissioners.
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the MOU. Commissioners, any discussion on this? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Got that off your to-do list, so thank you, Tucker.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
And you have also another request.
I do, yes. From time to time, we have conflict cases that arise in Johnson County, and we have to go to outside county attorneys to ask them to step in as a special prosecutor to do that. I've done this for various other counties in the past, and so we have a bunch of those saved up, and I hope to not ever have to use them, but in the event that we do, then I have plenty of folks that I can call on. And the benefit of state being small as it is, I know all the other county attorneys in the state, and so that makes it pretty easy to be able to find someone that can help out. I wanted someone who was close to Johnson County to be able to handle this issue. And so I asked Nathan Hankus, who's the county attorney in Campbell County, if he would step in for me, and he agreed. This is an outside agency investigation that's not happening in Johnson County, and I just want an outside county attorney to step in as a special prosecutor. So I have requested this, and I've signed that. It's signed March 29th, and then there's a resolution for all three of you to sign. It is dated. It doesn't have a date, but it's set for March, so you just have to cross it out and put April if you approve it. But that's sometimes it becomes necessary, and this is one such time, and so I'd ask that you approve the appointment of a special prosecutor.
Hankus?
H-E-N-K-E-S.
We'll get a resolution number for this, because I don't know off the top of my head what our most current resolution is. So resolution, special prosecution, whereas Johnson County Wyoming and prosecuting has entered into an agreement with Nathan Hankus, Campbell County and prosecuting attorney for Campbell County, Wyoming, or other designee of the Campbell County Attorney's Office to investigate, review, and otherwise proceed to make, in their sole discretion, a charging decision on a case that involves a matter in Johnson County, Wyoming, and the Johnson County Attorney's Office has a conflict of interest, whereas Nathan Hankus or other designee of the Campbell County Attorney's Office will provide their service free of charge to Johnson County. However, the Johnson County Attorney's Office shall reimburse for all costs and expenses. Whereas Wyoming Statute 183-302 authorizes said action and it benefits Johnson County. Therefore, be it resolved that Nathan Hankus or other designee of the Campbell County Attorney's Office be authorized as a special prosecutor in a case involving a matter in Johnson County, Wyoming, on behalf of Johnson County, Wyoming, dated this second day of April 2024. Commissioners, there's the resolution.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Tucker, any information that you could share that doesn't compromise what?
There's really not much to share. It's just a case that there's a conflict on that we needed some help, and nothing may come of it at all, but it's just something that I needed someone else's eyes to look at.
Any further discussion on the resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Anything else, Mr. Chairman? Thank you.
I don't believe so.
Thanks. This brings us to the time of vouchers.
Yes, you have been presented a report with vouchers totaling $148,037.40.
I move to approve vouchers of $148,037.40.
A second. There's a motion second, and I did have one question, and it did get answered because the longtime vendor for our tires got sold and they changed their names. So that was my question. So I don't have any questions on the vouchers. Commissioners, do you have any questions on the vouchers?
I didn't see that.
All right. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the vouchers in the amount of $148,037.40, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed us to transact today? Jody, is there anything?
No, I don't have anything further.
All right, we have then concluded all of our agenda items, and so at this juncture, we would open it up for public comment. So, public comment for the commissioners. I don't call for public comment. All right, if there is no additional public comment, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.